Metu Neter, the great oracle of Tahuti in the Egyptian system of spiritual cultivation. Chapter 3, top of page 43. The Dravidians succeeded, however, in one thing. By around 872 BC, they wrote down their cosmological knowledge in the first of the Upanishads, which dealt a death blow to the religion of the whites, the Vedas. It must be noted that the Vedic Aryan tradition has been totally abandoned in India since then to this day. These doctrines, which were interpretations of the prehistoric Dravidian religion, gave rise to the Samkhya philosophy, Gautama's Buddhism, and Jainism. Gautama's Buddhism, which was called the Hinayana, little vehicle, was not able to transform people's being because it was lacking the techniques to achieve its lofty philosophy. So after his death, it was in danger of dissolution as it was kept alive in great measure by his charisma. To ensure its survival, his disciples, against his rules, blended his techniques with the tantric traditions of the blacks. This aspect of Buddhism, which is called Mahayana, was able to transform people's being as it is based on the causal physical principles that control man's behavior and growth. Gautama's Buddhism is based in part on intellectualism and on the adherence to a code of conduct, which is in reality the effect and not the cause of spirituality. In other words, intellectual activity cannot transform behavior. It is a confusion of category, an ignorance of psychology and spiritual laws to try to make people good by telling them to behave good. You have to engage them in some activity which, without their conscious effort, results in the desired behavior. This latter is the foundation of Tantrism, the religion of blacks, and Mahayana Buddhism, which is based on the Tantras. Incidentally, it must be noted that the original Buddhism was against the practices of deity invocation and was also anti-woman, in conformity with its Aryan parentage. Its followers, upon merging it with goddess-based Tantrism, took the mantras that corresponded to the goddesses and syncretized it with their male Dhyani Buddhas. For example, the mantra Aum, which is the word of power used by blacks from prehistory in their invocation of the goddess Tara, the embodiment of man's divine perfection on earth, became some 2,500 years later. The mantra of the Dhyana Buddha, Veronica, similarly, the mantra Hum, of the wisdom goddess China Master became the mantra of the Dhyani Buddha Aksobhya, and so on. In this manner, Buddhism was able to survive as these mantras gave to their adherents the power to achieve the spiritual virtues that these Dhyani Buddhas represented. Before this, their followers would study the philosophy, aspire to realize the virtues, but fail to their aspirations for lack of the power to achieve. It is not enough to understand. You must have the power of realization. In addition, this syncretism enabled them to convert many of the blacks who could now worship their deities in the guise of Dhyana Buddhas. This is similar to what blacks did thousands of years later in Brazil, Cuba, Haiti, etc. They syncretized the African deities with the Christian saints. Buddhism was syncretized with the black religion as its power base was spread throughout India and Sri Lanka by the Emperor Ashoka. It then spread to China, 65 AD. In 552 AD, the Hindu sage Bodhidharma founded the Chan Zen aspect of Buddhism in China. In 747 AD, the Hindu sage Padma introduced Tantric Buddhism to Tibet. In 1191 AD, Isaiah found the Rinzai sect in Japan. And in 1300 AD, Dogen founded the Soto Zen sect around 1500 AD. And the Tantric Black religion was merged with Islam to give rise to Sufism. From China, India, Tibet, and Japan, this tradition spread to the rest of the Orient today. Today, those who do not know the history of the yogic tradition nor understand its inner constitution speak of the light of the East, when in reality, it is the modification of the light taken by the blacks from Nubia into Tigris and Indus Valley in prehistoric times. Anyone who takes the time to become acquainted with the pre-Aryan religion of India, we will see that it is the parent of all the fragmentary systems in vogue throughout the Orient. And that is the unfortunate truth. In place of the Dravidian integral system of living, the spiritual development we are being offered, its fragments colored by Aryan speculation into the nature of the spiritual dimension. This latter form of Hinduism, the latest reaction against the tantric yoga system of the blacks of India, is known as Vedanta. It is the form that has been introduced into the West. We must also note that another factor that is hidden, the black origins of the tantric yoga system, has been the fact that it has been presented to the world through translations into the Sanskrit language. And to make matters worse, due credit has never been given to the black people who created the system. What else is new? There ends chapter 3, The Source of the Light of the East. Chapter 4, Cosmology and Cosmogony. Imagine the following scenario. You have come up on a man busily engaged in constructing something with wood bricks, cement, etc. He is mixing cement in a kitchen blender, digging holes with a spoon, nailing boards with a rock he has already shattered 20, and so on. Might it be your first reaction? What are you doing? Building a house, isn't it obvious? The familiar salt. Right, you nod. What kind of house? Don't know, as he picks up some cement with a fork and pours it into the blender. Shouldn't you be using the right kind of equipment? You attempt to bring some sanity into the conversation. Wait a minute, what do you mean? Can't you see that these are working fine? And how? You equip? Well, let me see your blueprint. A what? What is that? He drops everything and transfixes you with an honest, quizzical look. As you are by now begging for this scenario to end, I will end it. But it is not really the end, as it is a good replica of how most people conduct their lives. Don't be too quick to exempt yourself. By chapter 10, you will be thinking very differently. Due to the lack of knowledge of self and the purpose of life, most people in the world are going about the daily business of living with wrong ideas of what is life. What should be their true goals, how to correctly achieve their goals. There is not the highest awareness that are ought to be or that are actually that or that there actually exists a blueprint to guide our steps in life to the true fulfillment of our mission on earth. Such a blueprint is called cosmogony. Cosmology, the study of cosmogony, has two fundamental goals. First, it provides an order and unified view of who and what is God, man, and the forces that administrate and sustain the world. No understanding of the subject can take place without an ordered and unified presentation of its whole and parts. Second, cosmology, like all the blueprints and maps, provides a framework that guides thinking and action through the vast array of seemingly unrelated life situations to the successful identification and attainment of the goal of living. It is achieved by showing how all events in a person's life are integrally related to his or her destiny. Through it is received the spiritual value of each and every moment in a person's life. With partial view of man's identity, the worst known knowledge of his origin and destiny, people go on to create innumerable situations, life goals, and undertakings. What if someone offered proof to the world that all the things make up the world are integral and inseparable, functioning and structural components of one being? The unity of all things in the world can be understood by the study of biological entities as they are based on the same cosmogonical structure. So the blueprint. The human body, for example, is made up of thousands of different types of cells, numbering the billions. Yet they are all parts of the entity. They represent one life and not billions of separate existences. Although each cell has its own individual need, the nourishment that one cell receives doesn't take care of others. Yet we all know too well what happens when even one cell begins to go its own way. Cancer. In spite of having individual needs like all one being, which they collectively compose. But how do we know that all the cells in the body are an integral part of the whole? The answer is simple. The interdependence, the harmony, and the order of governing their interaction, and the fact that their individual actions can be shown to add up the life and the whole they composed. Okay. Running through all the disciplines, studying living things, biology, physiology, biochemistry, etc., as well as all other sciences are the factors of order, interdependence, relationship, and the integral of seemingly separate things into a whole. It is most interesting to note that the Western world does not have a fully organized science of the shaping factors of order, harmony, etc., that permeates all sciences, such as science, known in various degrees of sophistication, too, must bring their own. Northwestern nations is known as cosmology. The term cosmology means the study of order. It occurs in such words as cometas, and effiet, cosmetics and mathematics from Greek mathematikos. It is easy to see the relationship of the meaning of the term with the term cosmology means the study of order. It occurs in such words as cometas and epithet of the Greek god Zeus, meaning the orderer. We also find it in cosmetics and mathematics from the Greek mathematikos. It is easy to see the relationship of the meaning of the term with the subject treated in mathematicas. The term's antonym is chaos. Webster's New World Dictionary, Second College Edition, defines it thus: the order of formless matter in infinite space, supposed to have existed before the ordered universe. See the confusion. Although this fairly common definition clearly establishes the relation to cosmos in a major flaw, how can there be disorder and confusion in a formless medium? The text is clear that there are two states, one in which matter is formless, and the other of the latter existence in which there is order. We must go further and note that the term chaos is a very clever coinage, and it is composed of A, the article of indefiniteness, sandwiched into the term cause. To appreciate this fully, we must realize the indefiniteness denotes the absence of form. All forms are ordered or defined states of substance, hence chaos, formless matter. In other words, the indefinite article A denies the existence of order and the term chaos. Yet in all truth, we will see that cosmology, the study of order, must start with the study of chaos, for the order realm is a mere reflection according to its own laws of the non-ordered realm. Keeping the above firmly in mind, it will be easy to see that the present-day Westerners have perverted the meaning of the words that are kin to chaos. Cosmos, it is greatly defined in the world and of the world in universe. Markosum, the great word, world, or miniature, mankind, society, man, etc. What is at work here is the Western polarization in thingish, thinking about a term that represents an abstract reality. Such thinking has kept Westerners from seeing that so-called creation myths of blacks are methoscientific expositions of how to bring order to an area where there is none. The grand theme of the cosmological mythoscientific literature of the black spiritual tradition is the absence of order in the early part of the man's life. Illness, social decay, and wars run rampant as a result. As long as the state exists, prayers, words, power, rituals, science, are all measures of no avail. This is the state that all Western nations find themselves in to date, bringing the order into the situation is the first prerequisite for the correction of the ills. The value of these methoscientific expositions resides in their appeal to the right side of the brain, which uses them as a means of creating order in all other situations in our life. This is due to its synthetical ability. Here ends the reading of chapter 3 and then chapter 4, cosmology and cosmogony. There are no definitions.